Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are, and should be, proud Americans. Well, here's what we have for you this hour. First, Skip and I are going to start by talking about the anti-American protests in our nation. Then Teresa Robinson will introduce us to another female veteran. Of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. So folks, you may have noticed that a significant number of our colleges and universities has people, not necessarily all students, protesting against our nation, some even calling for our nation to be done away with. Both Skip and I have attended colleges and universities, yet we never did such things. Hey, I've even taught at several institutions of higher learning, and I've never even been tempted to do so. Were you ever tempted, Skip?
Well, no, I never was. But it was a different time. I think it was a different country. We say we're the United States, but we don't seem all that united right now. I was in college in, the late 70s, early 80s, and you were in the 1960s. It was a different time and a different place.
Well, that's true. But I've taught in the last 20 years. But even as you say, it's different. We did have the Black Lives Matter riot stuff that wasn't good. And during the Vietnam War, there was that stuff. So I don't know, maybe this is a disease that comes periodically but whatever it is, the last time I checked, people who don't like America could leave legally, right?
Yeah, but they never do they? They just stay around and torture us and drag the rest of us down.
Yes, and for some reason, we tolerate that. Most of those supporting the Palestinians don't even know what Palestinians are. They discuss the Gaza citizens as being victims, but not victims of Hamas. Most of the protesters that I've heard speak at all don't have any idea what they're talking about, except for the clearly trained and equipped speakers at events, who may or may not be students. You notice the same thing?
Well, yeah, I do notice that. And it just seems like this is a clear danger and an orchestrated attack on our country. I'm feeling that these people may be useful idiots, but I have a feeling that there's some brains behind this. I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I was thinking about the other day, I know what a conspiracy is. It's more than one person working towards a certain goal, and a theory is something that you think might be true. So I guess by that definition, I am a conspiracy theorist. I think there's types out there like the Chinese, the Russians, Iran, George Soros, all working to tear down this country. I mean, the thief comes to but to kill, steal, and destroy. And it's a lot easier to tear down something wonderful than it is to build something wonderful or even to sustain it.
It is. Something my wife noticed before I did, at all these protests where they start pitching tents, they're all the same kind of tent. They're about a $500 tent. They're all about the same color all across the nation. Gee, could that be a coincidence?
I'm sure it is.
And they all have signs that are neatly printed and right colors and the right size and banners. And they're all about the same. Does that suggest there might be a financial leadership group out there somewhere? I mean, what do I know? I'm just a dumb infantryman. But it seems to me like what you just said is unfortunately true.
Yeah, they are well-financed, they're well-organized. They're a professional organization. I mean, we've seen in the past on like Black Lives Matter, and every time these far leftists take to the streets, they get shipped in by buses. Yeah. And it's like a lot of these students that are protesting, they're not even students. They're not even from that area. They get trucked in or bused in. They stay at hotels, and it's like a 9-to-5 job for them to destroy America. And it really kind of makes me angry, Colonel.
Well, yeah, to make an understatement, we've worn the uniform. We've been willing to die for this nation. And these idiots I guess they're idiots. I mean, I don't know how much they're being paid. Or the college students that, wow, you know, if you're, and particularly these big name colleges, that costs serious money to go there. And you sort of, theoretically, it's the cream of the crop of education. But my guess is it's the other end of education, because any profs that would be out protesting with somebody like that, much less teaching it and encouraging it. I mean, you don't have to have a PhD in anything to know that Hamas is a terrorist organization financed by Iran, that the Gazans elected Hamas to take over control of their country and rule it. And once Hamas did that, they ended all elections. So it's now a dictatorship. And that they have been killing Jews for generations. How hard is that to figure out?
No, it's not hard to figure out. And I'm hoping that there's enough collective intelligence left in American citizens, the general population, that they can actually look at this and go, okay, the far left, you decry racism. You even decry racism when there's no racism present by saying, you know, if you're white, you're racist by design. But it's like, what difference does it make if you hate someone because they're a Jew, or you hate someone because they're black, or hate someone because they're brown, or hate someone because they're white? What's the difference? It's all racism, isn't it?
That's way too simple, Skip. It can't be that way, because that way they wouldn't have any reason to be protesting.
It seems to be, it's always college kids. Those seem to be, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or step on anybody's toes, but, you know, you go all the way back to when you were, in the infantry, in the army, back in the 60s, where did you go to? You were deployed to, police college kids who were getting violent and who were protesting. And it just seems like it's always the least experienced among us who are complaining the most and who are protesting. And it's like, are we really smart to let the least experienced, the ones with the least amount of life experience and wisdom, drive the agenda and form and shape our lives and the future of our country?
You know, that's a valid question. And one of the things I guess we have to consider here is all of these college-age students have parents who apparently let them or encouraged them start thinking that way?
Yeah.
Or weren't paying attention?
Their parents are baby boomers, right? And the baby boomers, by and large, I'm a baby boomer, we are spoiled. We were spoiled, through the 50s and the 60s, the 70s, just had a great upbringing. We never lacked for anything. Our parents who grew up during the Depression and World War II, they wanted us to have the best of everything. So they sacrificed for us. And it just seems like good times seem to make weak people. And then we kind of dropped the ball. Us baby boomers dropped the ball on raising our kids. And now our grandkids are doing some pretty nasty, foul, vile things to their country. I don't like it.
Well, I just hope we all, at every generation, learn the lesson from this so that parents can think about how they're raising their kids. That's a whole separate subject, and maybe we should talk about that too. There's more to discuss about our nation's challenges, and Skip and I will be right back. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down each time and do 40. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. Skip and I will be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Military leaders have called our national debt the greatest threat facing America, and for good reason. We're more than $32 trillion in debt and counting.
Meanwhile, Congress continues to throw money at the Pentagon and Veterans Affairs with no idea if the money is reaching its intended targets.
Concerned Veterans for America fights for more responsible spending from Washington so Americans remain safe and prosperous in the future.
Visit cbafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cbafrontlines.com.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. Skip, one of the other things that I noticed in this was, I know that some of the students who got arrested for breaking and violating rules are demanding that they not be dismissed from the school, they not be failed out of their classes, they not have any arrest record on their records. They're demanding that. I've always had this funny feeling that you're free to act and you're free to speak, but you're not free from the logical consequences of your actions and speaking.
Depends on who you're working for, Colonel. If you're working for George Soros, you can afford the best lawyers in the world. Plus, you may even have a president in your pocket. So, yeah. Who's to say?
Well, when I was teaching college, we were talking about freedom of speech. I said, okay, guys, let's suppose that there's a young lady that you really like, and she seems to have some interest in you, and you go over and say some things to her that accidentally or on purpose absolutely outrage her. You have the right to say it. Does she have the right to never want to see you again? Do you have to live with the consequences of what you said or did? Yes, you do. And if you break the law, at least in some cities in the United States, you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And in some colleges, you can get thrown out. In some classes, you can get failed. Welcome to the real world. I mean, well, that's, you know, my thoughts.
Yeah, Colonel, anyone who's been married more than a day knows that, you know, you do have the right to free speech, but it's not always free. Sometimes you have to pay for what you say. And I think that there's probably, that's a good thing to some extent, simply because it places some natural accountability. I mean, yeah. You can say some pretty vile, nasty, foul things, but just because you have the right to say something doesn't mean you should say it. Free speech is not free, especially, I mean, sometimes standing up for the right thing has a high cost for it. And sometimes refusing to stand up and not standing against evil has a cost that's even worse than that.
Yes, I've heard it said that the opposite of love is hate, but another opposite of love is indifference.
Yeah.
So when you see somebody ruining our flag or protesting against something and you don't do anything because you're indifferent, that's supportive. That's something we all sort of have to live with. You know, one of the things that concerns me about all these, they apparently hate America because our most dependable ally in the world is Israel. And we're supporting Israel from people who have been trying for generations to kill them all. And so they all think that the people that have been trying to kill them are the innocent victims. This is nonsense. But if they do really dislike our country, you know, you may have noticed that there's a few people that have come illegally across our southern border. We're in the number of millions right now.
Yeah.
And if only 1% of those millions are terrorists, well, that's a lot of terrorists. And might these I Hate America people be good recruits for the terrorists? And might we be looking for one heck of a nasty time sometime soon?
Yeah, the way I see it, Colonel, is this is an orchestrated attack on our country, and it's military in nature, in that it has a strategy, and they employ tactics that are tested and proven that actually work. And it's a multi-pronged attack. It's not just a head-on frontal attack. They're attacking you know, the front, the left flank, the right flank, the rear. You know, they're doing the end around. I mean, they're attacking from the border. They're attacking from the school system, from the media. I mean, what institution in America has not been taken over and subverted by the far left? I mean, and when I say the far left, it's almost synonymous with like communism, China, and Russia. That's how I see it.
Well, what you just said is logical, Skip. And that's not really acceptable these days, logic, is it?
Well, and I ate crayons for breakfast, so you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out, Colonel. It's just there for anyone. I remember what Jesus always said, for anyone who has ears to hear. I mean, what did he mean by that? I'm not exactly sure, but anyone, you know, with half a brain can see this. And if you can't see it, maybe you don't have half a brain. Or, you know, maybe, you know, the transmission is stuck in neutral and you're just idling and you can't get along. But, you know, I don't think that the baby boomers are going to solve this problem, because we were part of creating the problem. And if we were going to solve it, we would have solved it a long time ago. It got worse on our watch. And I think probably the younger generation, they're stuck with this. And, you know, on behalf of all baby boomers everywhere, I apologize for the messed up world that we left you. And that would include my 19 grandchildren and my 7 kids, Denny. I feel bad about it, and I've been fighting against it my entire life. But it's frustrating, because no matter how hard I fight and how long I fight, it just seems to get worse and worse. And that tells me that this is orchestrated, and it's very, very strong.
I agree. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam, Frontlines of Freedom. If you haven't noticed, Skip and I still love America. Skip, one of the things that is certainly making our nation more vulnerable to terrorism and maybe communism is the way we have almost everybody turned from God. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can go into the scriptures and you can read, you know, about end times and things like that, and say, you know, see things like, there's going to be a time when everything's backwards, when north is south and south is north, when, you know, people call evil good and good evil. And that's what you and I are talking about right now. When we talk about Hamas, all these kids, you know, and whoever is backing them, they're saying evil is good and good is evil. Israel is evil because they're defending themselves against people who are trying to murder them, and who have been trying to murder them for decades now. And Hamas is good because they are murdering men, women, and children simply because they're Jews. Now, in what universe does that make sense?
Nothing that is remotely decent, good, godly, honest, none at all. So one of the things that this we have to talk about solution, our nation needs to return to God. And that's a challenge every one of us has to face. None of us, and nobody got it all together. But when we let our school systems teach stuff and our colleges put up with this stuff and the homes not building a godly foundation for their kids, we got a problem. And the only solution is to return to God. I think that's a safe statement.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's a form of spiritual combat. And another thing, get your kids out of the public school system. Just get them out so that you know what they're learning, so that you can raise them with good spiritual values. You can teach them to be patriotic, God, family, country, because you send them to public school, what are they going to learn? They're going to learn that America is evil, it has evil roots, and America should be destroyed. You're teaching them how to commit suicide on the national level.
With your money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Folks, I'm sorry that we didn't have more positive to share, but if there ever was a time that we have to all get up and get active one way or another, it's now. Skip, thank you. I appreciate you. You're my brother, and you'll be back on in a few minutes. Thanks, bro.
Thank you, Colonel.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, Teresa Robinson will introduce us to another female veteran, then we'll open our weekly mailbag. Creeps, I hope you are getting serious about buying gold and silver to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice, then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. It's a real pleasure to welcome back to the show our newest team member, Navy vet Teresa Robinson. Teresa introduces us to female veterans, and she knows a bunch of them. Welcome aboard, Teresa. That's what I'm supposed to say to Navy people, right? Welcome aboard.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Denny. I appreciate it. I just would like to take an opportunity to say welcome to this awesome opportunity for female veterans to have their voices heard and be recognized as part of the United States of America's military history. We as female veterans are often invisible to the general public, and I'm on a mission to take that and make that we want to be visible. And today we have with us Lorena Black, who's retired Army, and she's going to tell us a little bit about herself. Welcome, Lorena.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you to you, and thank you to Denny for giving me this opportunity. I'm really excited to get to talk about my service.
Thanks for being here. Well, we know you were in the Army. Can
yes.
you tell us when you served, maybe the job that you had, where you were stationed, just a little bit about your Army history.
And why yes. did you join?
Yeah, of course. So I joined in 1997. I grew up in Vancouver, Washington, raised by a single mother, didn't apply to college, didn't really know how to do any of that, had been working, you know, babysitting and types of jobs since I was 11, real jobs since I was 15. But I found myself in this place where I was quitting everything and I just felt lost. And an Army recruiter, as brilliant as they are, came up to me when I was working in a department store and said, "Do you know random name person?" And I was like, "No, I don't." And then he was like, "Have you ever thought about joining the military?" And I was like, "Absolutely not. Never has it crossed my mind. I've watched the movie Full Metal Jacket and I, you know, want no part of that," which it makes me laugh, you know, because I didn't know at the time that was Marine Corps and all that. But I was, the thought of that had me like, no. But then I started to get really intrigued with this idea of changing my life and doing something that I couldn't quit. Because you can't just tell the Army, you know, "I quit." It doesn't work like that. And so I got very excited and I ended up joining the Army. And I remember when I told my mom, she was like, "What?" And my whole family actually was like, "Wait, Lorena can't join the Army. She's too nice to join the Army." and even my mom was like, "Okay, well, just go for 2 years." And I ended up signing up for four. And 25 years later, I retired back in 2022. When I first joined, I was an enlisted soldier. I was a 75 hotel at the time, and then it transitioned to 42 Alpha, which is basically human resources specialist. About 12 years in, I'd been stationed in Fort Benning, Georgia, Germany for 5 years. I'd been to Kuwait a couple of times, Fort Bliss, Texas, and then I was in Augusta, Georgia at Fort Gordon and all these names are different now. I realized that, but this is what they were
right.
when I was in. And I applied for the Green to Gold Active Duty Option Program. which was where I could take 2 years, finish my bachelor's degree, still be on the clock, getting paid, being active duty, but focusing my whole time on going to ROTC and finishing my degree. And I needed 3 waivers for that because I was too old. I had been in the Army too long and I had 2 kids. But it worked out and I got accepted. And so I spent 2 years doing that. And then I commissioned as a signal officer with 14 years of service. I was a butter bar lieutenant. From there, I went to, and then I went to Korea with my kids and a bunch of other duty stations. In 2018, I really wanted to retire because it was just getting really hard. At that point, I'm a single mom and things were just difficult. Or I had been a single mom, got remarried. And so I left active duty in 2018 and actually didn't retire, but I joined the reserves and spent 4 years in the reserves. And then in 2022, I retired.
Well, you had a long, rich career. And really, for that person that was quitting every job and you stayed a long time. I'm not sure. Did somebody tell you that you didn't have to stay 25 years?
Well, it was funny because at first it was, I had a leader tell me I wouldn't make it past a first duty assignment. And I think that fueled me a little bit. And then I was just having fun. I wanted to go see the world. And so, you know, I went to Germany and the next thing I know, I was there 5 years. And then I almost did get out at the 10-year mark because I had both of my daughters pretty close together, and oldest was 7 months old when I found out I was pregnant with my second daughter, and my ex-husband was in Iraq. And I was getting a hard time from a female leader, and I realized I don't know how to be a good soldier and a good mom, so I'm going to get out. And I was, again, I was at the 10-year mark, and I had a sergeant major say to me, "Are you stupid?" And he's like, "You're at the halfway point." And I have to get out. But then I made sergeant first class and it didn't make any sense for me to get out. And then a year later, I was in green to gold.
While you were in the military, because you were in for such a long period of time, do you feel that you were always treated as an equal with your male counterparts?
Oh, absolutely not. And it's funny that the work I do now is I work at a nonprofit focused on accelerating women in their careers. And the more I am removed from the military, the more my cloud clears a little bit and my rose colored glasses become a little less rosy. And I think back and I'm able to reflect. I have some, you know, very big experiences that I've shared in other forums where I was definitely not treated well by male bosses. But I think just overall, sometimes I just remember feeling that I wanted to fit and I didn't want to rock the boat. So things that might have normally maybe caused my antenna to go up didn't, because I was so just focused on just not being, you know, air quotations, that woman or that person, and just being one of the, you know, a team player kind of thing.
Right, right. Did you receive some harassment and stuff then, probably?
So sure. My biggest thing, you know, that happened is I worked for a pretty toxic leader. Toward the end of my active duty career, it was a really bad situation where I mean, it was making me physically ill. It was so bad. And I did try that after, you know, pulling up my big girl pants, tried to, you know, have that conversation, letting him know his leadership style wasn't working for me. And I thought things would change a bit, but it didn't. And it just got really, you know, really bad to a point where I finally had to file a formal complaint about it, because it was more of the just toxic workplace bullying, that kind of stuff. I have 3 daughters. And so just thinking about how I was letting somebody treat me and bully me and make me feel less than, and I let it go on for so long before I said something. And I regret it, but there's lesson and learning in that too. So I take that away.
To hear you say that, that's a wonderful piece. I'm older than you are and served in the 70s. There were things that happened, but there was no place to report them and no one to report them to. So it warms my heart to know that you had an avenue to report the mistreatment and possibly get something done about it. Do you think that there's room in the military for women to serve, or do you think it should mainly be men?
Well, I 100% think there's room for women. I think that the military wouldn't be as good as it is. I'm not saying it's great. Nothing is actually perfect, but I think women contribute so much to the military. We belong there and we make it better. So no, I don't think it should be just men.
At the risk of interrupting, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
we need all the talent and the different perspectives. We're about out of time, but I have one quick question. How did your military service affect your children?
Oh, they, the two that I gave birth to that moved with me everywhere. I mean, they are more adaptable. They're more resilient. They got to live in Korea. They've been to multiple different states. They just have, I think, a more a rounded view of things. And I think that it has, granted, they have gaps, you know, for we were winter movers. So they were always moving in the middle of the school year. So there are challenges, but I think that they push through them differently, having had the experiences that they've had.
Teresa, you get the last one.
My last comment is going to be number one. Lorena, thank you so much for joining Denny and I and taking this gigantic step, speaking to the general public and educating them. Yes, we are veterans as females. I look forward to many, many more female veterans telling their stories in the future. And I thank Denny and Front Lines of Freedom for recognizing she is a veteran. I don't want anybody to ever forget that. She is a veteran.
Well said. Well, thank you, Lorena, for taking time to join us today and for your service to our nation. And thank you, Teresa, for bringing us another great guest. I appreciate you both.
You're welcome.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag, then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want your ranger ready. Then stand at ease. Silver has increased 24% over the past 15 months and is a solid financial investment. Silver is projected to continue its rise and is nowhere near its 2011 high of $49 an ounce. So there's still a lot of room for investment growth. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. I do some coin collecting. Universal Coin was the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a great place to go to purchase silver and gold. I recommend you go to universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Check them out. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel, Army vet Slim wants to know if you think Israel will fight until Hamas is destroyed, like they said they would.
Yes, Slim, I do. They need to. One more truce that Hamas will break at some point makes no sense, and Israel knows that.
And then Sue, an Army mom, is surprised at how easy basic training has been for her son. It's nothing like what her dad said that he went through.
Sue, your dad may have stretched things a bit in telling his story, but it's absolutely true. Basic is much easier now. Hey, they can't even yell at the troops in some services. We need to get back to the way it was. And now it's time for military history. Take us there, bro.
Well, Colonel, on 8 May, 1792, Congress passed the second portion of the Militia Act, requiring that every free, able-bodied white male citizen of the respective states resident therein who is or shall be of age 18 years and under the age of 45 years be enrolled in the militia. And the Second Amendment protects our right to be armed, so we'll never be victims.
Yes, sir. And on May 7th, 1915, during World War I, the British ocean liner Lusitania was torpedoed without warning by a German submarine off the south coast of Ireland. Within 20 minutes, the vessel sunk into the Celtic Sea. Of 1,959 passengers and crew, 1,198 were drowned, including 128 Americans. The attack aroused considerable indignation in the U.S., but Germany defended the action, noting that it had issued warnings of its intent to attack all ships, neutral or otherwise, that entered into the zone around Britain. This ultimately led to the U.S. getting into the war against Germany.
And then on 7 May 1945, the German High Command, in the person of General Alfred Jodl, signed the unconditional surrender of all German forces, east and west, at Reims in northwestern France. At first, General Yoder hoped to limit the terms of German surrender to only those forces still fighting the Western Allies. But General Dwight Eisenhower demanded complete surrender of all German forces, those fighting in the East as well as in the West. If this demand was not met, Eisenhower was prepared to seal off the Western Front, preventing Germans from fleeing to the West in order to surrender, thereby leaving them in the hands of the enveloping Soviet forces. Jodl radioed Grand Admiral Karl Dönitz, Hitler's successor, with the terms. Dönitz ordered him to sign. So, with Russian General Ivan Suchlaparov and French General François Sivez signing as witnesses and General Walter Bettel Smith, Ike's chief of staff, signing for the Allied Expeditionary Force, Germany was at least on paper defeated. Fighting would still go on in the East for almost another day, but the war in the West was over.
Wow. And on the 8th of May, 1945, both Great Britain and the U.S. celebrated that victory in Europe Day. Cities in both nations, as well as the formerly occupied cities in Western Europe, put out flags and banners, rejoicing in the defeat of the Nazi war machine. The 8th of May spelled the day when the German troops throughout Europe finally laid down their arms. In Prague, Germans surrendered to their Soviet antagonists after the latter had lost more than 8,000 soldiers, and the Germans considerably more. In Copenhagen and Oslo, Karlshorst near Berlin, in northern Latvia, in the Channel Islands of Sark, the German surrender was realized as a final ceasefire. More surrender documents were signed in Berlin and Nice, Germany. Pockets of German-Soviet confrontation would continue into the next day. On May 9th, the Soviets would lose 600 more soldiers in Silesia before the Germans finally surrendered. Consequently, VE Day was not celebrated until the 9th in Moscow, with a radio broadcast salute from Stalin himself. He said, quote, "The age-long struggle of the Slav nations has ended in victory. Your courage has defeated the Nazis. The war is over," end quote.
And on 10 May 1968, during the Vietnam War, the U.S. 9th Marine Regiment and the 3rd Brigade of the 101st Airborne Division, along with South Vietnamese forces, commenced Operation Apache Snow in the A Chau Valley in western Tua Tien Province. Purpose of the operation was to cut off the North Vietnamese and prevent them from mounting an attack on the coastal provinces. It was a very bloody battle for the enemy.
And for us, indeed, it was nicknamed Hamburger Hill. And on the 6th of May, 1970, during the Vietnam War, hundreds of colleges and universities across the nation shut down as thousands of students joined a nationwide campus protest. Governor Ronald Reagan closed down the entire California university and college system until May 11th, which affected over 280,000 students on 28 campuses. Elsewhere, faculty and administrators joined the students in active dissent, and 536 campuses were shut down to comply, 51 for the rest of the academic year. A National Student Association spokesman reported students from over 300 campuses were boycotting classes. The protests were a reaction to the shooting of four students at Kent State University by National Guardsmen during a campus demonstration about President Nixon's decision to send U.S. and South Vietnamese troops into Cambodia. 4 days later, a student rally at Jackson State College in Mississippi resulted in the death of two students and 12 wounded when police opened fire at a woman's dormitory. And that's military history for today. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, Anissa Tinnen said that she was happily dancing to a Taylor Swift music with her four-year-old granddaughter when Joseph Rivera, age 32, broke into her home. He had reportedly stolen a vehicle after the Albuquerque Police Department had flattened his tires with stop strips. He threatened to hurt the grandmother if she didn't turn over her car keys. She readily complied, and Rivera left, and Tinnen called 911 and armed herself to wait for the police. But Rivera returned, this time breaking down the front door. Tinnen warned him to stop several times, then shot him. Police arrived and took the home invader into custody. Both grandmother and the four-year-old were physically unharmed.
Thanks, Colonel. I did some background investigation on Joseph Rivera and discovered that last year alone, he'd been arrested, charged, and released three times for violent crimes, and he had a rap sheet long enough to wallpaper the Great Pyramids of Egypt. One of the keys to surviving a home invasion is knowing what to do before it happens. This grandma did a great job, but she had to figure things out as the crime unfolded, and that could have cost her and her granddaughter her life. Here are some good tips to follow should someone break into your own home. First, know the laws of your state. Be well-versed in castle doctrine law so you know beyond the shadow of a doubt when you are legally availed the use of deadly force inside your own home. In this particular incident, the grandma could have shot him much sooner. Personally, I would have shot the man the first time he entered illegally. Second, the first time the man entered, he did so through an unlocked door. Keep your doors locked at all times. I know for us retired folks, that's tougher to do because we were taught that when someone visits our home, it's our job to invite them in and make them feel comfortable. But the times have changed and so must your hospitality. Third, keep your gun loaded and locked in a gun safe where you can get to it quickly. Inside my own home, I'm never more than 20 feet away from a loaded gun, all locked up in a quick access gun safe. You should be able to access your gun and bring it into action within 5 seconds of a home invasion. My gun safe of choice is the Hornady Rapid Safe. Check it out on the internet. This pistol-packing grandma did a great job under a huge amount of stress, and Front Lines of Freedom salutes her. She was brave and hung in there long enough to get the job done. We wish both her and her granddaughter the best as they heal from their emotional scars.
Yes, sir. Our movie of the month is The Life of Death. You can go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link and watch it for free. I'd appreciate getting your comments on the movie. Send your comments to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, Congressman and retired Marine General Jack Bergman will discuss some national issues. Ray Lopez will then present the Veterans of Foreign Wars. Steve Wilson will discuss helpvet.net. And Gil and Skip will present The Border in a Book. Our book, Front Lines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And now it's available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get involved in correcting our nation. Plug in to Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.